Hey, Robin, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing just fine. Just peachy. It's cold and rainy and yucky in California, Northern California.
We got a little snow today, very little.
Yeah, I heard it was snowing in Johnson Valley. Well, you're not far,
I'm not
actually,
far from
right?
there. Yeah.
Well,
Am I the first one?
yes. Well,
Ah.
besides me,
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know. I don't know if I count, but
Are you going down to Johnson Valley at the end of the
no,
month?
I can't. I've got. I actually have foot surgery in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's no fun. Did you break?
No. Well, I fractured my foot over the summer and I was in a cast and then I was in a boot and it never healed correctly. So they actually have to break it and put it back together again.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
My mom had bunions and never had anything done about them, and my sister inherited them, and she had them kind of trimmed off or something. I don't know what they do if they go in and trim the bone down. But being a guy, I haven't had to wear the shoes like women have, so I guess I'm going to survive.
Yeah, all I wear is Converse and sneakers. I mean, other sneakers.
Yeah.
So I'm not fancy. There was a time I wore suits and heels and all that stuff. A long time ago, you get old enough and then you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, you don't
Hey,
care about
Ken.
it. Nope.
Yeah, yep. Not in the corporate world anymore.
Right.
Are you going to King of Hammers?
No. Kind of laying low. I did get my first
Yeah.
got my first COVID shot a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to get my
I'm
wife.
so envious.
Yeah, well,
So.
it's a challenge. Of course, I'm old enough, so that's not a problem.
You know, I thought I was too, but no dice yet. Not
Yeah.
yet. I think they're giving more to Southern California because of the outbreak there and than to Northern California. Because I don't know anyone up here who's gotten a shot.
Well, it was a
And
challenge. It was a computer challenge to do it, but I managed.
well, I live in a 55 and older community, so we're kind of the youngest ones here, but we're surrounded by a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
And none of them have gotten shots. So that's kind of what I'm judging it on.
Yeah, well, my wife couldn't get hers, and she wasn't quick enough on the computer. She's 75, I'm 73, and but I just managed by luck to get in. We've got her scheduled this week.
Well, good for you. The more people that are safe, the better.
Yeah.
Friend of mine, his sister and nephew have it, and a couple other people I know have it.
Yeah.
So,
I know people have died from it, and I know people that have it. We've had several people in our neighborhood have had it.
yeah, my aunt and uncle were elderly, and they died last April. You know, the
Oh.
flu kind of go around, and but
Yeah.
one in New York and one in Texas, different sides of the family, one mother's side, one father's side. It was kind of coincidence they died a week apart. They didn't have anything to do with each other.
Ouch.
But, well, it was tough for the family because you can't really
Oh,
do
yeah.
anything. Can't really mourn.
Well,
But, yeah.
I have a friend that owns Four West, and his partner died from it. His partner was the one that
Oh,
tried to
no.
get him, yeah, well, of course he was a little older, but tried to get him to put up all the safety shields and anything, and my friend was, saying, "Oh, it's nothing." And he lost his
Yeah.
partner.
It's a really tough thing. It became politicized and
Well, that's a shame.
I try to be very not political. But I had a weird pneumonia about a year and a half ago now, September of 2019. And it had nothing to do with COVID. But I had to wear a mask for 6 weeks until they identified bacteria.
Oh,
I
really?
I wouldn't give it to anyone else. Yeah, just so
wow.
I wouldn't make anyone else sick. And because it was a bacteria that was related to tuberculosis, but it wasn't tuberculosis.
Ouch.
And, yeah, I never really thought anything, about it. No one said anything to me.
So, well, glad you made it through it.
Yeah. Yeah, can't keep a good woman down. Okay, Ken is on, and then either, is that Bruce Brazil?
It's me.
Okay. All right. Just waiting for everyone. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Hey, Ed.
Hi.
Oh, Ed, I need to talk to you about Andy. You need to answer my email. I forwarded it to you.
I just sent you a reply a minute ago.
Oh, okay. I didn't get it.
Oh, did you know they're accepting ranger station at Glamis?
Okay.
I can do comments.
Yeah, I just saw it. It's interesting that they want our okay.
For Andy?
No, I mean that the district chief wanted our okay.
Are you in your office?
You're cutting in and out a little bit, Ed.
Sorry, I'll take it off speaker. Maybe that'll help. They want help with deciding for Andy Auberg?
Yeah, so basically the division is going, will you support this person? So
that's pretty nice of them to ask, because we'll be working with them.
Well, I think it's a sign of where, you know, the importance Corva has in the whole state park.
It is important. Okay. No one asked me about him.
No,
Well, you did, but I mean from the park.
Well, somebody I know missed a meeting with State Parks. I won't mention any names, Ed Stovin.
I know, man. It's a job
okay.
Getting away in my real life.
Yeah. I've got an 805 number that I don't have a name to. 805-300.
That's me. I'm Mary James, sitting in for Lyndall James from On the Rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I spoke to Lyndall this morning.
I don't know if I need to be here because you probably very kindly sent him the executive director report.
I did, but there's a lot of other stuff that goes on at the meeting that's really worth hearing.
Okay.
So
great.
That's from my point of view. From what I see, but this is really a team effort, so we have reports from everyone, and I think they're really interesting. So, Mary, we're thrilled to have you. Thanks so much.
Oh, glad to be here. Lyndall has to be in his club meeting at the same time. So.
Oh, okay.
Here I am.
Okay, and so I've got 9 board members so far. Ken, Bruce, Charlie, Ed Stovin, Vinny, Bob Hamm, Lori Lewis, and Diana Mead. Did I miss any of the board members? Mary, it sounds like you have interference in the background. Can you mute yourself?
Yes.
That worked. Dave,
we're much better.
Yeah. And Jared.
Hey.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 board members, Ken Clark.
That sounds like we have a quorum. So we can,
and
701.
12, Mike Moore. And Jim. And Bruce. We have a full house.
Wow, we got everybody.
That's awesome.
All righty, we might as well get started then.
Wait, I have another participant with a 916 area code.
Yes, George McDougall here.
George. Hey, George.
Hi, George.
Hey.
You knew it was us, right?
Would that be Amy and Ken?
Yeah, that's the Amy and Ken.
Hey, Ken, how's that Hemi going? How's that new Hemi going?
I love it. I'm getting it ready to tow my trailer down to King of the Hammers.
Oh, okay. Great.
Okay, so I'm going to have the meeting call to order at 7:02.
All right, since we've been called to order, let's go ahead and start with the roll call, get the official stuff out of the way. And I got Bruce Witcher. Bruce, you there?
The Wonder Woman hanging your wire rope.
All righty. Bruce Brazil?
Here.
Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you.
Lori Lewis?
Here.
No, Lori. Oh, there you are. Welcome, Lori. Jim Woods?
Here.
Okay. Ed Stoven?
I'm here.
Bob Hamm?
Here.
Welcome, Bob. Vinnie Barbarino?
I'm here.
Evening, Vinny. Amy, you're here. Charlie, Charles Lowe.
Here.
Yep. Mike Moore.
Mike is here.
Mike, good evening, Mike. Just a second here. Dave Cundy.
Dave's here.
Welcome, Dave. And Jarrett.
Yep, I'm here.
All right, did I miss anybody?
Me.
Yeah, you, Amy, you're here.
No, no, it's Diana.
Oh, Diana, I missed Diana. Okay.
Yes, you actually did, but I'm here.
Yeah, that's because I have you highlighted, so I skipped right over you for some reason.
Good one. I'm impressed. Thank you.
Okay. I have just a second. I have someone with a 415 area code, and I didn't catch your name. 415-691 number. Can you identify yourself? Okay. One more chance. Anybody who doesn't identify themselves gets dropped from the call. Okay, 415 area code, 691. Okay. They dropped off.
They're shy.
Well, they didn't give their name either when we requested the name, so. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, we always.
Yeah,
they're
trolling.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, it's a public. We put out the information in enough, you know, send it to enough people, but we want to make sure we recognize everybody who's on here. That's why we ask for names, and that's why we drop people if they don't identify themselves.
All righty. Now that we got that all cleared up, let's move along. welcome, everybody, and Happy New Year. I hope everybody's
yes.
healthy. Yes.
I'm going to read off the guest's name. We have Robin Reed, Ken Cordray, Lance, Ken Oyer, Spencer Norton, Mary James, George McDougall, Terry Work, Mark Theofanides, and Jim, I'm not sure if Roberta's on with you. Sometimes she is, so Roberta Woods, if she's on.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay,
hi,
cool.
Roberta.
I already wrote you down. All right.
Okay, has everybody reviewed the agenda, and do we need to make any modifications to it? All right, not hearing anything. We'll just move on. So we have a lot to talk about. It's a new year. Well, you know, I hope everybody's healthy. Hopefully this COVID situation gets a little better. We can get back to having some events and having face-to-face meetings. I'm a little burned out on Zoom meetings. A lot of critical things going on. We got some legislation. We've got lawsuits to deal with. We've got King of the Hammers 50th/50th anniversary party coming up. And we're going to support a new head ranger for the OHV division. So anyway, let's get moving along with this. Amy, you sent out a report, and you've been quite busy.
Yeah, there are a lot of things going on at one time. I just want to write down the rest of your report. So from now on, I'm going to be posting for all the members that want to see the report. I'm going to be posting it along with the meeting minutes so people can read my report because it's more extensive than what I can possibly say online. And because I'm taking minutes, I can't speak and write at the same time. It just doesn't work. But we have a lot going on in state parks. And let me see who that is. Oh,
Scooter.
Stephen Howard. Hi, Scooter.
Hello, sorry I'm late.
No problem. We have new positions as sector superintendents, which is really good. We have the start of quarterly meetings with the district chiefs. Diana was supposed to be on with one with the Carnegie and Hollister. She couldn't make it in the end. But Jared was on with Brian Ketterer, and he can add what he heard from that meeting. But it's basically going over four issues that are important in our SVRAs. And that is operations, law enforcement, education and interpretation, and compliance, environmental compliance, basically compliance with the regulations or the goals that were set out in SB 249. And those are areas specifically that we lost access to or control to in during transformation. And so now the division is working, and these meetings will expand. So the initial meetings was just to kind of get the scope of the conversation. And for the Central California District Chief, it was only the meeting was only about 45 minutes. And Mike McGarity just joined us.
Yes. Hello. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome. For Southern California, the meeting was about an hour and a half with Brian Ketterer, the district chief. And the interesting thing I found out about it, Brian Ketterer also is in charge of law enforcement for all the SVRAs. And we very specifically brought up Terry Work's point about problems at Hungry Valley in regards to noise and people that he mentioned during the last, I believe, OHMVR commission meeting. And we agreed that there has to be more signage, that people need to know where to turn to if they have problems while they're camping at an SVRA or they're just traveling in an SVRA. There needs to be more information out. And so it was a great opportunity to bring that home, and we have plans. And then hopefully the larger group, which would include local locally based friends of groups, whether it's Carnegie Forever or Friends of Ocotillo Wells, that can participate in these quarterly meetings. The state wants them to be organized and run very well, and we're actually taking the premise of this, or the start from this, from what Ed Waldheim did for many, many years in many areas. It's not exactly the same, but it is the same premise to hold the officials accountable. And so that's why we run the meetings and ask the questions, and then the officials need to respond to our questions and not the other way around. So we gather information as much as we can from enthusiasts beforehand, present it, and then have them respond, create an action log so everybody knows what's going on. And so far, the response has been pretty good. And it's definitely increased conversations, and it's definitely brought home issues. We have parking issues at Carnegie and Hollister Hills. We have capacity issues at both of those parks as well. We have proposed new capacity for Oceana Dunes. That's a little different story. But we also have parks like Heber Dunes and Onyx Ranch that nobody really thinks about, but they are, and Clay Pit, they are part of our SVRA system, so we do need to be aware of what's going on there, and we do need to offer opportunities to our public that include those parks, even though they're not the biggest parks and we don't hear about them often. So that was really good. I have asked for a meeting with the state director of the BLM, and this is in regards to the three projects that the BLM has started, and that is, that was interesting, noise. Everybody, if you have noise behind you, please mute yourself so everyone else can hear. The amendment to the DRACP will be on the agenda at the next OHMVR commission meeting in February. And Bruce and I have been conversing with Randy Bannis, who is CORVA's representative on the collaborative for the DRACP, the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan. And in this case, the amendment that was is proposed and has been released, nobody likes. So nobody's happy with it. And it is an opportunity to find a point of agreement with the moderate environmental community. It's someplace we can come together on that. So we have that. We have the Snowberry Essa National Monument. There's a meeting on Thursday night. And my mind just went blank for a minute. There's so much going on at one time. The Alabama Hills. And Alabama Hills is a beautiful little area outside of Bishop in Yell County. And the management plan's okay. It's not bad. And I've been in touch, Jim. I spoke to Pat for a while. I had a great conversation with him just to double check with him what he's hearing from the club and the people there. And he's given me some great information. And we'll write comments as needed on that plan as well. But we do need to converse. I think actually I sat with the state director of the BLM, Karen Moritzen, on my way back from King of the Hammers last year on the plane. We were both flying to Sacramento on the same plane, so we sat right near each other and we had a nice conversation. So I do know her and Joe Stout, the assistant state director, but it's time to meet with them again, especially about these plans. So I've put in a request for a meeting, and hopefully we'll hear back soon. So the state has also asked for our input on the chief's division, the chief's position, and Ed Stovin and I were talking about that, and it kind of is an indication of how they're asking the OHV community for input, which is something that hadn't always happened in the past, and we're very pleased about that. So it means that we're making headway into the fact that OHV enthusiasts deserve a voice in state government helping to determine positions that really, that they work for us. And so we're excited about the possibility of seeing a new chief, and we miss Brian Robertson all the time, but it's time to fill the position. We'll deal with Oceano under a separate item, so I'm going to leave that alone for now. And the Forest Service, we have, there's a weird noise in the background. Somebody's shaking something. But we have the Forest Service is still going ahead. We have a meeting actually on Wednesday with the Chief of Operations for Region 5, and we have a tremendous problem in all of the forests, especially though in the more tourist-oriented areas like Lake Tahoe, like Big Bear, with a lot of people crowding the areas and coming from more urban settings, not knowing how to recreate. These are new people to recreation. We're seeing them also in SVRAs and other areas. But we do need to be part of an education effort to help these people learn. And in SVRAs, it's not that hard. We're going to put up some signs and have some information available, maybe even with QR codes, you know, try technology and see if that works. But it, for the Forest Service, it really is a problem. And those of us who recreate in forests, I'm sure Bruce has seen his fair share of trash out on the trail, because it's been a really big issue. So we have all three agencies, BLM, Forest Service, and State, all very active in the start of 2021. And we're involved in all of it. So does anyone have specific questions about issues?
My only question is, whoever has their mic still on and isn't talking, can you mute it?
Thanks, Bob. All right. Thank you, Amy. You've been very busy, and Corba is involved in every aspect of off-road recreation now in all agencies. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, so let's move on. King of the Hammers is up next. I will be attending that. I'm going to try to be down Friday, may not be down until Saturday. We have a booth that has been donated to us by Off the Grid. We're planning on having a little celebration for Corva and also for Steve Gardner on Wednesday night. I'm going to bring Jared in because he's been dealing with Off the Grid on this quite a bit. Jared, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, thanks, Ken. So the 50th party at King of the Hammers will be on February 3rd. From 4 to 7 p.m. That'll be at the Off the Grid booth in Hammertown. This is really cool. Bobby and Josh from Off the Grid have essentially handled pretty much everything to make this happen, you know, starting with donating a portion of their booth to Corba for the entire week, which is just awesome. And then even as far as so they did a special edition 50th anniversary Corba t-shirt. I'm sure everyone's seen that on the Facebook and the Instagram, but they did the whole thing start to finish themselves, and they did the shirts on pre-order, and Amy might be able to get us on the numbers here in a little bit, but they were selling like crazy. So I'm not sure if they're still up, but I believe they are, and if they do fill the order, they were talking about doing a second run of them. So the Corva party will be at their booth on that Wednesday afternoon. For the Corva board members who are coming out for the week, I know we've got Vinny, we've got Ken, we have Jim Woods, we have Dave Cundy, and Mike McGarity. We'll be trying to, I guess, alternate shifts at the booth and try to sell some memberships and make some contacts out there. So.
Thanks, Jared. Yeah, we're not gonna sell merchandise. We will have internet access, so we're gonna mainly push for memberships, and we're gonna have the members sign up directly online, and they could actually, when they sign up, they'll be in the store, so they can purchase other merchandise at the same time. Hopefully, this will work out pretty good for us. I thought we sold about 150 shirts.
Yeah, that was the number I was going to pass along. That's what I've got. Mike's been keeping track of it, too, so he might have a more up-to-date. After 150, I kind of stopped counting my emails.
Yeah, I think we're up to 160, and it
wow.
looks like they just billed us for 200. So they've got 40 left that we can still sell.
Okay. We're going to take some koozies. Yes?
A couple of things.
Hello.
For one.
Yes, Jeff.
Les off the grid has hooked up, and we can use their hookup and maybe one laptop for internet access. It sucks by Wednesday, so we may want to ask him if that's something available. Number two was, I don't know how the breath shield, the dust guard thing sold, but it may be worth to bring those out because this is you are required to wear a mask in Hammertown. It might be a good idea if we can give some of those to the announcers, maybe walk around and throw a few at the Kings, so some promotional ones to help promote Corva.
Excellent, Jim. Yes, off the grid is going to allow us to use their internet connection. I have a little tablet that I'll let we can use as a point of sale. And yeah, we're bringing koozies. I forgot to tell them license plate frames, though.
I already told them. Got that already.
We're bringing koozies, license plate frames, and the neck gaiters and stickers. And we're going to we're going to give away a few things. We're not going to give away everything, but we're definitely going to do a little promotion, throw a few things out to the crowd and try to get people excited in different areas.
Okay, this is Vinny. I ordered a bunch of flags from some Corva flags, and I'm going to bring those too, so we can, give those away or whatever. And then anything that they're left, I'll just send home with off the grid, and then they can maybe add them to the store. So there's two sizes.
Okay.
There's a regular full size 3x5, and then a smaller one that's like a whip flag. So.
Oh, cool. Oh, I almost forgot. I'm gonna pick up the Oliver books. The gentleman Jarrett, I believe Amy is his name. Garrett. Okay. He's going to donate some books to us, and then we can sell those also.
Nice.
Mike, do you have anything to add?
I actually have
something to add.
I'll chime in.
I spoke to Bobby. Just one last thing. One of the more exciting things for me is I spoke to Bobby this afternoon from Off the Grid, and they have an agreement with the announcers, and they're going to be talking about Corva and asking people, telling them how exciting it is to be a member of Corva, or how exciting it is the work that we're doing on behalf of off-road enthusiasts. I don't know it's exactly exciting to be a member, but it is exciting to see how hard we're working. So Bobby is really pushing that with the announcer, and that's gold. I mean, that's amazing. And so
we're going to be heard worldwide.
So my question is, do we all have to wear a kilt? You wouldn't understand that. The announcer for years is a kilt. And it's just
All right. Mike McGarity.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. So looking forward to KOH. Looking forward to helping out with the Corva booth. It's going to be real exciting. We're going to be arriving there. I'll be arriving there on Tuesday evening and meeting up with Vinny. We should all be camping somewhere as close as we can to Hammertown. We'll see how that works out. The email went out today regarding the passes. So if you guys log in to that special website and use that passcode, that'll get your special day pass. I also have Scott sent me the information for that as well. So that saves, I think, either $30 or $40. But one of the big things is making sure that everybody gets that COVID test. So, and if you haven't, I think tomorrow, depending on when you're going, so tomorrow will be 7 days from the time that I'm actually going to arrive. So I'm getting my COVID test tomorrow. It'll be a rapid test. You just have to have it within 7 days. And that's just to get into the gated Hammertown area. So, but anyway, I think it's going to be a great event, and I'm happy to be part of it. So thanks for allowing me to be part of this with you guys.
Thanks for helping out, Mike. Dave, did you want to add anything? Dave Cundy, did you want to add anything real quick before we move on?
Just like Mike, I'm going to be showing up probably earlier on Tuesday and try to find an area big enough where we can all probably camp and see if I can maybe put some signs up or something. My cell phone doesn't work very well out there, if it does even work. So, and then get set up and go over and start working with the booth. And that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, the COVID mitigations are going to, they're really going to be pretty strict on it. There's a lot going on for the COVID down there. So anyway, any questions before we move on to Oceana Dunes?
Well, yeah, actually, can we move legislation before Oceana Dunes?
Yes.
Bruce, go. This is Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Howdy. A follow-up on the COVID and all that down there. You guys that are going, please be very cautious and very whatever. I've been, I've had the COVID. I caught it, and I was following state and county guidelines. Fortunately, little bugger only stayed in my body for about 4 days, so it was a fairly light case, but it's a sneaky bugger. So please be careful down there.
Oh, thank you. I'm bringing a half gallon of hand sanitizer. I've got some spray disinfectant stuff we can spray stuff down in the booth with. Personally, I bought some N95s. So, yeah, we all need to take care of ourselves. All right. So now we're going to move legislation ahead of Oceana Dunes. Bob? Bob Hamm?
He's on. He might be muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
There you are. There you are.
I was talking, but he was muted. we're watching a couple of bills right now that have been introduced. We're expecting another one that we haven't seen yet. But Senator Brian Jones reintroduced the bill he had last year on
red sticker, Bob. Did he fall off?
I'll tell you in a second. Yeah, he fell off.
Okay, Bob was talking about SB 227, introduced by Brian Jones. This is the same bill that was introduced last year. And the bill has to do with making it so that red sticker motorcycles can continue to be registered and used on public land. This bill is brought to you by AMA District 36 and 37 and the Off-Road Business Association through Terry McHale. And one of the qualifications for getting a registration for a red sticker bike. Oh, and by the way, if you don't know what red sticker means, it's like a green sticker, but they're racing vehicles, motorcycles, and ATVs that exceed the emissions limit of green sticker. And by the way, that is 1.2 grams per kilometer driven of hydrocarbon. Bob, are you back?
No, that's actually Butch. Hey, Butch.
Oh, hi, Butch.
Sorry, I'm late.
Okay, we're talking about SB 227, the red sticker bill. So this bill will make it so that red sticker bikes can be registered. And the one interesting part is that for you to be qualified to operate it on public land, you need to have a current racing license. And it doesn't really specify who has to give you the license. The biggest racing organization in the country is the American Motorcycle Association, but there's many other racing organizations. I don't think it's been sorted out yet, but it's most likely that they would be limited to areas and seasons similar to the way Red Sticker currently is. Red Sticker now is
$50. This pertains to new Red Sticker bikes, right?
Oh, thank you. This is only going to be from 2022 and into the future. Old Red Sticker bikes from 2021 back will not be affected by this bill.
They get green sticker, don't they?
Well,
yes.
So
yeah,
it's this is from CARB, not from this bill, but CARB is going to be allowing red sticker bikes to become green sticker bikes, but not until 2025 or 6. I forget the exact year, but they're going to wait a few years before they grandfather the red sticker bikes to green sticker. I'm personally looking to buy a brand new red sticker bike this year that I'm going to hang on to for a while. I'm not quite sure which one, but I have my eye on a couple. So this bill is interesting because it's kind of a runaround to the Air Resources people's who want to end the red sticker program. And in the back of my mind, I think this bill might get killed at the end. But we're going to have to wait and see. And last year, we directed our lobbyists to sort of put a strong effort into supporting the bill. This year, we're going to back off, and we're not going to work as hard on it. We're still going to get letters of support, but we're not really going to do any heavy lifting. The other group that brought the bill and has a lobbyist, they can do the heavy lifting on this one. CORVA is not a racing organization, so it doesn't really suit us as much. And then there's another bill that's been introduced by our group. This is AB 232. I believe the author is Gallagher. And this is the reciprocity bill. And so what this is about, and this was brought by Bob Hamm. He figured out that we should do the bill. He worked on the writing the language for it. And it turned out that a few years ago, the state of Arizona found out that Arizona residents had to pay to go to the Imperial Sand Dunes. They decided to make it so that if California residents with California green or red stickers go to Arizona, they are required to buy an Arizona off-road license. That they don't recognize California's green sticker. So that's kind of like, imagine driving your car into Nevada and Nevada saying, oh, sorry, your registration isn't good here. You need to get another. So most states have reciprocity where they allow other states' registrations to be good in their state. So since Arizona did that, Utah and Nevada have also done the same thing where they don't recognize California registrations. So what this bill will do, it will say that if your state does not recognize our registrations, then our state will not recognize your registrations. And the
Bob
hope,
is back. Ed, Bob is back. Bob
thank
just
you.
Came back.
Bob, yeah, I don't know where I fell off. I finished the report and asked for questions, and it was silent, and I realized that I was the only one talking.
Oh, man. So I hope you don't mind, Bob. I took over, and I covered SB 227, and I'm now working on AB 232, reciprocity. So, again, Bob brought this bill, and it will – our hopes for this bill is that the states, the three states I mentioned, will change their rules. And the reason why they may want to change their rules is when their residents come to California and are forced to buy a registration, they may go home and scream bloody murder to their legislators. And when they all figure out what's really going on, there's a good chance that those states will change their rule so that they recognize California, so that California will in turn recognize their state's registrations.
Ed,
just for a little background on this, what we found out later was there was an Arizona legislator who heard that all the Arizonians, the zonies, that were coming over to ride in the Imperial Sand Dunes were being forced to pay a $25 fee. Well, that was the Federal Bureau of Land Management fee. And this legislator presumed that it was California was charging his zonies to come over into California, so he was going to outshow them. And so it was put in for a bogus reason, and now here we are stuck with this thing. So I don't think it'll take very long once we put this in and all of the zonies are forced to pay $25, or I think that's what the out-of-state fee is in California, to come over and use our dunes, in addition to the federal fee. They're going to scream bloody murder to their legislature because they're going to see that, well, if Arizona let Californians in, then they could come over there. And there's a hell of a lot of people from Phoenix, Yuma, and Tucson that go to the dunes, and probably on any given weekend, there's as many, actually on the off weekends, there's more zonies over there than there are Californians. So, because it's so close to Yuma, actually. So hopefully the bill, we can put it in, and we won't be collecting a lot of money very long because those other states will go back to making their own reciprocal, because the program should always be how it started. Every state has reciprocity to other states.
This is Jim Woods. I'm a dual citizen for both states. I have a license plate on my side-by-side. I cannot take it on California streets. And when I come to California, if I don't have a green sticker, I still get in trouble. It costs me $52 every 2 years to get a green sticker for California, but I still cannot drive my street-legal Arizona vehicle with turn signals, horn, all the baloney, street-legal tires and a windshield in California not to get a ticket. So it's not going to go away that easy, I think.
That's street-legal stuff. We're talking off-highway.
Well, I'm talking both off-highway and on-highway, because I have to...
If you have a registered vehicle, street-legal or off-highway in Arizona, you can ride it in the dunes. You can't ride it on the highway, that's another story. Let's not get Section 4000 mixed up with Section 38,000.
Okay, it's a two-way street, though. Again, if I bring my street-legal Arizona vehicle here, I do have to have a green sticker because I've been pulled over, and I do have one. it's registered both places. But
you don't need a green sticker if you're street legal, registered.
Yeah, you do too.
Well, Arizona lets you street legal registration a side by side. California doesn't. That's probably the difference right there. California probably doesn't.
A street registered side by side is legal in the dunes. It is not legal on the highway.
But is it legal on BLM land? We all don't just go to the dunes. And I have been approached and had to show my green sticker. So maybe at Glamis, which is a big area, but how about Cal City or people going out this weekend to King of the Hammers? There's different areas.
It's legal on the public.
I guess
legal
I can't. Okay. Thanks.
It's legal.
That ranger that was giving you a hard time.
Don't drive it on the highway and take a copy of the vehicle code with you. I'll get you the section. I think it's 38026.
Oh, you just have to come with me sometime and we'll find out. But I'm just trying to bring up a point.
Be happy to do that. We can clear this up with the BLM.
Okay, well, I wish you would let me finish, but that's okay. Thank you.
All righty. So, are there any questions on any more questions on this legislation? Either one. Now, the 277. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask Bob. When might we know all the bills? When are they going to actually be printed out or made public or whatever, through the process? What sort of date is there on that?
We just had the deadline for bills to go to Ledge Council, and I believe it's February 13th. I can clarify in a minute, but which is the bill introduction date, so it would be that week.
The deadline is February 19th.
The 19th.
So after the bill introduction deadline, our lobbyist is going to send us a list of bills that may affect us. Last year it was about 50 bills, and so we looked over just the quick summary of the bills, and we boiled it down to about 10 that we were really watching, 10 or 12. And there is four that we're highly interested in, and we sort of watch the others. So probably by the end of February, we'll know where we stand regarding what bills have been introduced. Okay?
Yep.
Awesome. I had a quick question about 277. I know that that's the AMA bill, and we've been kind of letting them run with that. But I understand that the language needs to be changed somewhat. Are we going to try to convince AMA to change the language, or we're just going to let them totally run with it?
No, there's some stuff that absolutely has to be changed. The language as it is today, Dave Cole could not produce the King of the Hammers next year if it passed. They didn't draft it very well, and they took the section on closed courses, and they inadvertently, because all they were concentrating on in their bill was motorcycles and ATVs. So they, for some reason, got into that definition of closed courses and made it by putting motorcycle and ATV in. It wasn't included but not limited to. It was ATVs and motorcycles are closed courses. So we have to add that it's any off-road vehicle as defined in the vehicle code, and and we can have if they want, including or but not limited or something like that with the motorcycle and ATV if they think that language is important. It wasn't, it isn't, and it shouldn't be limited to just them. Otherwise, it winds up making basically the closed course thing. It would stop any other kind of racing, even side-by-sides, which are not motorcycles or ATV in the vehicle code. They're called recreational OHVs or ROVAs. So we will fix it. And I think Ed has already contacted, because we know that this Senator Brian Jones, we know him very well, and Ed sees him all the time. Ed, you've already contacted their staff, haven't you?
Yeah, at SDRC, Brian Jones has assigned one of his staff to us, and I contacted him and mentioned that we have an issue with the bill that we need to talk about, and I sort of outlined it. So, that's John Mendoza.
Yeah, it's a great case. Thank you very much, Ed. Everyone will, I mean, it's one of those things that was an oversight, and we'll fix it quickly.
Cool. Fantastic. All righty. If nobody has any more legislative questions or news, we shall move on to Oceana Dunes. Who's going to take that one?
I guess I'll start with the Public Works Plan. So,
okay.
Bruce and Bruce Witcher, feel free to add anything. Bruce and I had a working review of the Public Works Plan, and it's a very odd analysis. And between us, Bruce and I have seen, 30, 40 analyses. I mean, there are about four components that directly affect OHV that are dealt with summarily without any alternatives to change. That, in other words, these items are not at question and not presented as negotiable in the Public Works Plan. And those four items have to do with carrying capacity of both street legal, non-street legal, and camping, night riding, and the cessation of concession. And can everybody mute themselves? There's someone rummaging. Okay. Those items are not involved in the alternatives or are not put forth for discussion. The night riding will be immediately seized upon acceptance of the Public Work Plan and upon review or further study. But those items which most affect off-road recreation are not at question. They're just presented as kind of a done deal, which is kind of unusual. The issues and the alternatives are almost peripheral to our enjoyment of the dunes. And they have to do with the proposed southern entrance, lifeguard stations, boardwalks, butterfly groves, a whole bunch of other stuff. And so it's a very odd analysis, because most of it really doesn't affect us. Now, this is the Oceana Dunes District, which does include Pismo State Beach, so it's not solely about Oceana Dunes. The only area where I felt they sort of presented a stronger argument, or an argument that was nicely put, was in response to the alternative, which was included at the request of the Coastal Commission to change the park or to remove a five-year plan to stop OHV recreation on the park. And they did include that one alternative, but they strongly wrote, and they wrote pretty well, that this wouldn't be acceptable, and it wasn't an alternative that they could present. It doesn't fulfill the mission. And interestingly enough, it wasn't the environmentally preferable alternative either, which most people probably in the environmental community would think that that would be identified as such. But it wasn't, because of the loss in revenue that would occur once if the SVRA was no longer an SVRA and did not have access to the money from the OHV Trust Fund. So I thought that was handled as well as we can expect it to be handled, and was written pretty well. But Bruce and I have identified about 14 issues, which we're open to sharing with other groups. We're open to discussions. I've talked to Jared about that. And we want to see as many substantive comments submitted on the Public Works Plan as possible. And we've always wanted that. That's the whole nature of the Commons Project. So that's sort of my take on it so far. It does not deal with air pollution issues. It leaves that all to the SOA, the stipulated order of abatement. It does not deal with the SAG, the scientific advisory group, all these hot button issues that are very important to us. It kind of says, well, this is being dealt with other places. The two things, the biological mitigation plan has not yet been released. It's quoted in the document, but has not been released yet by Fish and Wildlife. And that could be a glitch, because we need to have access to that before we can comment substantively, since it is referenced in the document, but public doesn't have access to it yet. So that could be an important glitch in the system. And the habitat conservation plan is the other thing, and that has been released to the public. So we did comment on it, and that's also referenced. So all these other issues in regards to the birds, all of that are not included in the Public Works Plan. So right now, we don't know. Comments are due by March 2nd, unless a California Coastal Commission hearing is scheduled after March 2nd, and then the comment period will be extended to that, the hearing date of the California Coastal Commission. But we can say March 2nd. It's a good idea to get in comments by March 2nd, and I would as I'm sure Corva, we want to get as many good comments in there as possible. So that's kind of my broad review of the Public Works Plan.
Perfect. Any questions? Comments?
Jared, do you want to take it from your point of view?
You pretty much covered it all really well. The one thing that is really important, so there, you know, we have the end of the comments on March 2nd, and Mike and I did have a meeting with Coastal Commission staffers. It's probably been about a month now. It was just kind of a check-the-box meeting for them, but we did, Friends of Oceano had a meeting with staffers, and they were pretty clear where they stand on their five-year plan. And that March 18th will be a special Coastal Commission special meeting for a single action item, which will likely be to make take a vote on the staff's recommended five-year plan for the closure of OHV to the park. So that's an important thing. So, I mean, as far as, we need to get people to submit comments. Amy talked about us getting a comments workshop together. We can work offline about on that, and you know, as far as getting something together, like she put together for the Habitat Conservation Plan, we can get some outreach on social media and collaborate and try to get as many people participating in the process as possible. But between now and that March 18th meeting, I think it's absolutely critical to get as many people as we can calling into the ABCD this week, which is Wednesday, and then every Coastal Commission meeting between now and then, which will probably just be one. So,
thank you, Jared. Questions, comments? Okay, another hot topic, Alameda County versus Carnegie lawsuit versus Brazil. Diana, you've been working
present
on this too. All right, Bruce, what do you have on this?
Well, to fill in for some of our guests here that may or may not be aware, there's three different lawsuits against the SVRA on their expansion property, you know, at Carnegie. And one was Alameda County, one was Friends of Tesla Park, and the other was the Connolly Ranch. And in this instance, it's the Alameda County versus Carnegie, or the SVRA, or state parks, whatever. The judge recently ruled in favor of Alameda County, and it has to do with the environmental impact report. The judge felt that it was did not meet standards or whatever. I just a couple hours ago found a link to the court ruling. I have not read through it, so I do not know the details yet as to what the judge had problems with. As I see it and my vague understanding of what goes on, because I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on TV, but I imagine puts the state parks in a position to revamp the EIR in some way to satisfy the courts, or to just take it as is and appeal it if there is another court that they can appeal to. And maybe Bob Hamm can jump in and let me know if there's another court that it can go to for appeals.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer either, but yeah, it can be appealed. And some of I looked at it kind of cursory because we just got it, about an hour before this meeting.
Right.
And it's incredible how much detail Alameda County went to. So it was pretty quickly as I went through the recap of the case that it wasn't filed by any county lawyer. This was another Connolly wrote it and the county filed it kind of thing. But they had some valid points on some of the technicalities of how the EIR was done. Some of them, I think, can be corrected with the EIR. Some of them, the judge was clearly going out of his way to find reasons and misreadings of the statute. And the one that they spent a lot of time on is that, as you recall, the OHV program, there's a section in there that says the program is for off-highway recreation use and for vehicular access to non-vehicular use. And they spent a lot of time on that it was non-vehicular recreation, and yet they weren't saying where the fishing hole was or something like that. There was not that there would have been a non-vehicular source of recreation, but they were saying that essentially they were using that as something to hang their hat on, that says that the whole area can be a source of non-vehicular recreation. Well, that isn't the way the code reads, and that's not what they went for, but the judge went for it. So anyhow, that part is appealable. It'll take a lot more than a 45-minute reading of it, though, for me to really figure out how many points we need to fight on, and I think the lawyers are already doing that. So they had some valid points, and they had a judge who was truly stretching things, and that has to be appealed. We cannot let that stand, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Diana, do you have anything to add? I know you do a lot of work with Carnegie.
Sorry, it took me a minute to unmute. One thing. The special event area is very, very close to approval. And it's kind of niggling your memories, but it was something that we kept talking about at Carnegie, that they just kind of had stalled doing anything pending what's going to happen with lawsuits. And we're talking about the current park, not even the expansion area. And with a lot of encouragement and kind of pushing from the community, the special events area where the hill climbs are held is just about ready to be called a special events area, which basically means that we can have competitions there that won't be subject to the same rain out and various other constrictions that could be placed on the remainder of the park. And that's huge because post-COVID, we'll go back to international competitions there. So that's really good, good news. And I think that we deserve some of the credit for that.
Thank you, Diane. I know you work very hard with everybody out there. Okay, any questions? I'm going to add that with this COVID, the two off-road SVRAs in the Bay Area, Hollister is closed. Carnegie has limited capacity, and I'm getting texts by 8:30 to 9 o'clock every weekday, weekend, or holiday that they're at capacity. Of course, they do open back up after about 1 o'clock. They've been opening up as some people have been leaving. But it just shows that we need more off-road recreation in the area, in the state, the entire state, actually. All right. Any additional? Vinny, you got any reports from the South?
Well, unfortunately, I know I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but I really don't have much. This past, the last weekend should have been the Truckhaven Challenge out at Ocotillo Wells, but, you know, we weren't able to have that. A group of my group, the Off-Road Animals, we did go out. So we were going to go out there anyways, but since they're not allowing camping, we had to go to a BLM land, so we did go out, and I passed the hat around, and we sold some of those flags I told you guys about, and we raised like $570, and I guess Mike already deposited that money into the bank the other day for Corva. So other than that, I'm looking forward to going out to King of the Hammers and seeing what we can do there. Hopefully, like you said, they're gonna allow the announcer talk up Corva, and maybe one of us can actually maybe even say something. I don't know if they'll allow that or not, but I'm thinking that'd be a good time for someone like, you know, quote unquote Jared to get up there and say some good things about Corva, but we'll see how that goes. But we really owe a lot to Off the Grid, you guys. Those guys are stepping up big time as far as the store and doing this whole thing. So we got to really make sure we give them a big thank you when all this is done. So other than that, like I said, apologize. This COVID thing screwed everything all up here. So my club, the Dirt Devils, basically it's a Jeep club, but of course I have a Toyota and they give me a bunch of crap about that all the time. But, anyways, they made a donation a couple months ago, $500, I think, and they're offering to make another one probably next month. So we'll see how that goes. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Vinny. Bruce or Diana, Lori, do you have anything else to add?
This is Bruce. Just a little bit. And it's the Altamont Landfill Advisory Committee or whatever they're called. Had a meeting a couple weeks ago, you know, a teleconference type thingy. And they didn't have a whole lot to say during that meeting, but there is a wildlife, what do they call that? Migration or some sort of a corridor that is being studied, and it kind of goes through Carnegie area from the north side of 580 and then heading down south. But that report was not ready yet, so hopefully in the next meeting they'll have something more to say about that. And that all has to do with potential funding and maybe other lawsuits and who knows what for Carnegie. Thank you. That's it.
Thanks a lot. All right, Diana, do you have anything? Lori? Dave Cundy, did you have anything to add on clubs?
Not really. I just have, I've got Bakersfield Trailblazers right now. They're really working on trying to get enough members to become a Corva club.
They did. 15.
Oh, did they? Great.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. They did. And Jeremy checked each and every one. He was on top of it.
Right on. Very good. I'll have to personally thank him for that. And that's
cool.
Basically all I have really right now.
All righty. Charlie, did you want to bring anything up?
No, nothing really much going on right now.
All
Maybe
right.
more later.
Okay. Let's, now we have guest comments and questions. Does anybody in the have any questions or comments? Any issues coming up that you need to let us know about? Now's your time.
This is George McDougal.
Hey, George.
How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Hey, not sure if you guys are aware, but OHV Division is working on, has two kind of little subcommittees working. One's working on the 50th anniversary for the division from, you know, its birth in 1971 up until 2021. And the second committee is working on the safety weeks, OHV safety weeks. One's going to be, it was supposed to be in conjunction with with Hangtown out at Prairie City. It's going to be Northern California, but now Hangtown looks like it's canceled. And one's supposed to be in conjunction down in Southern California, down in October sometime. I can get you the exact dates. I don't have them off the top of my head, but I've been on the safety committee throwing out ideas and such. Just thought I'd let you know about those two things.
Oh, great. Is that an effort to educate people on trail etiquette and just general safety?
On the safety committee, we have Tread Lightly is part of one of the partners. We have CHP involved. We have, and it's about educating and know before you go and things like that.
Oh, good. We need more public outreach like that.
We're going to have rack cards and banners and all kinds of things.
Wonderful. Okay, anybody else have any questions or comments? All right, no response. Let's move on down the agenda. Business sponsors. Jarrett, how's that going? You've been working hard on that also.
Yeah, I did a pretty big push. I guess that was, early 2020 was the last push, and we brought in a bunch kind of back-to-back. And I just see things kind of ramping up here, at least for me personally, with all this Oceano stuff. And so I'm trying to make a really big effort to
we pulled in, let's see my list, is we've pulled in quite a few recently. A couple have been totally unsolicited, which is really, really cool to see. And so I really want the board and everyone kind of collaboratively to try to make an effort. If there's businesses that we should be talking to, businesses that board members work with, that we know already want to be a Corva business partner and they just haven't made the move and they just, you know, we just need to reach out to them. Please let me know or send me contact. I'd like to make a really big push here before everyone gets sidetracked with all the issues we're going to be having, at least at Oceana and elsewhere this next year. And then, you know, then a little leave of absence from that probably for a little bit again. And, you know, and then we'll pick up another run on this maybe at the end of the year. But so if anybody has suggestions, companies, contact in mind that you think would be a good fit or that should already be a business partner, please let me know or let Mike McGarity know, let Vinny know, let someone know down here, and we'll reach out and get in touch with them. That's about it.
Hey, Jared, I got a question. I heard something about four-wheel parts. Is there anything going on with them as far as a business member?
Yeah, so sorry, I was trying to find the list here. So there's a bunch that I've been in discussions with, some for quite a while, and it's just, like I said, they've committed to doing it, but, you know, just giving them the nudge or the follow-up call and just touching base. So we picked up Blaze Off Road, who isn't even in California. Really cool guy. Really interesting talking with him because he's a mom-and-pop shop, just a one-man guy, and I think it's Colorado. And his was really cool because he said he sees what's happening in California, and he doesn't want our problems coming his way into his state. And he sees, you know, California kind of setting the bar, and he's right. You know, what happens here is a pretty bad precedent for other states as well. But so he came on board. We picked up Sacramento Off-Road Solutions. Really good guys. They support a couple. I think they just supported Cal 4 recently as well. We picked up Rig Gear, and they make some sort of ADV bike bags and gear and things like that. And then Four Wheel Parts, that was an interesting one because I know John, he's made a really big effort kind of flirting around with them on social media for quite a while. And, you know, they're just one of those big ones that doesn't seem to go anywhere. And then we had a message to the Instagram account asking about it a few weeks ago, and it's a done deal. So that's pretty big. Hopefully we could, you know, start developing a little bit better relationship with them, and hopefully they'll be a good resource for us as well as we will as a marketing resource for them. And then the other one was Milestar Tires, and that'll be done probably in a week. Amy and I both had a talk with the guy over there this last week. They've got some ideas of things, you know, that they're interested in doing themselves, and they want to sponsor some trail cleanups and public land cleanups like a lot of the other groups have. So, and they were pretty dead set, and I just want to say that they became interested in supporting Corva because of their partnerships with some of our other business partners, and their big one being Off the Grid Surplus. So that's just one more thing that Off the Grid Surplus has done for us. And, yeah, we've really – they're throwing us a party, but I think after all this is done, we're going to have to throw them a party. So,
yes, we are. That's fantastic. Four Wheel Parts Corporate. That's pretty amazing. That's a big outfit. Okay.
I just want to add one thing to the business sponsors.
Yes.
And Jared and I had talked about it, and in one way we can thank Off the Grid Surplus for all their help. And I talked to Bobby about it as well. A long time ago, we had talked about doing some kind of business roundtable. And now with everybody getting used to doing Zoom meetings, it's really an opportunity for us to get some kind of roundtable going with our business sponsors, because the business sponsors have a little bit different issues. Some of them are the same, but some of them are more specific to their businesses and the continuation of off-road recreation. And so we kind of thought and put out the idea of doing a Zoom meeting called the Corva Business Roundtable, where we can allow all our sponsors, really anybody, to come on the Zoom meeting, ask us questions about what's going on in the state of California, and give them some special attention. It wouldn't really require much effort on our part except to explain everything that's going on and what we're really doing, but it would give the businesses a chance to ask questions about specific areas that might not that might be important to them. And we may not have all the answers at any given time, but we can certainly note which businesses have questions about certain areas and then get back to them. But it gives them an outlet that they don't currently have to reach out and find out information that could affect their bottom line. And thanks to Off the Grid, they were really interested in kind of saying, you know, Corva Business Roundtable sponsored by Off the Grid Surplus, because they've done so much to sponsor us. We need to give them sort of something back. This is a neat way to do that. And Bobby had talked to me a long time ago when they first started with us, seems like a long time ago, about having business meetings actually at their shop in Escondido, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, so it's better to do it by Zoom. And we can actually get more people involved, even people from Colorado or wherever they happen to be around the state. So that's an option. If anyone wants to be part of that, let me know, let Jared know, and we'll start kind of solidifying the ideas, as well as around March 1st. Mike had sent an email out that everybody needs to get back to him with any merchandise that they might have. We know that we need to do an inventory, and we know that we're going to get out of this lockup period. I know Vinny doesn't have merchandise. I'm not sure how much Ken has, but we want everybody to be geared up so that we're ready to go once everything opens up again. So we'll do an inventory and then take stock and see what we need to order. So that's on my schedule for March 1st.
Thank you, Amy. We're growing all the time. It's fantastic. Okay, the next item I have is the Corva 50th anniversary. I am going to stop on my way down to King of the Hammers at Slash X Ranch and talk to them about their venue. I've made a phone call. I need to talk to them about more detail. It's one of the possibilities. Maybe in sometime this spring we can have a party down there. It would be nice. Anybody, does anybody have any ideas or any, have they done anything or recommend anything for a 50th anniversary?
Hey, everyone, this is Mike.
There we go.
Okay, so Clausen Motorsports, Mike Stovall, has said that he is, his catchphrase is "I'm down." So he goes, "I'm down. Whatever you guys want to do, we'll do. I can be the event sponsor." He's got a rapport with BLM. I don't want to speak for him, but what I can do is I can talk to him about handling the permit and the insurance for the venue there at Slash X. If Ken, if you can secure the location and make sure that it's okay for us to have the event there. I think having a title sponsor is important, because a lot of that cost does get deferred to the title sponsor. Clausen Motorsports has become an associate member. I don't know if they do a life membership for the Corva?
Mike Stovall became...
Yeah.
So Mike became a life member.
Okay. So either way, I think it would be huge for Klaus Motorsports, and then also to reach out to the rest of Corva's corporate sponsors, and we can have multiple. It doesn't have to be just, you know, them, but partnering with off the grid like we have and with other corporate sponsors is huge. And then it goes all out to their social media base when they advertise and promote the Corvus 50th anniversary at Slash X. And it could be called a customer membership appreciation, et cetera. So I think we should still continue to pursue that.
That's fantastic, Mike. Yeah, that'd be great. Klaus is starting to do a lot for us. Cool. Well, we can keep working on that. I'll see if I can get that location squared away for us, and then we'll move on from there and see about permits. COVID permitting. All righty. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Yeah,
ideas?
Terry Work, I have one.
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Okay. On this Corva 50th anniversary, I would appreciate it if myself and Linda Walheim could be kept in the loop. Linda, and I just had dinner with her 2 weeks ago, really would like to know when this is going on, because she would like to, if possible, to attend this. And it, you know, she has been asking about it, and there hasn't been really much scuttlebutt about it. And I think the Slash X is a good location. I also think Jawbone is a good location. So if you have something to fall back on.
That's true. We'll
and
talk
then,
to them.
Because Corva had a lot to do with Ed and getting Jawbone and Cow City, the Rands, all that area, keeping that alive, and still is. Then on another little bit of a subject off the thing, I didn't get a chance to speak up when you had a thing questions, but you might have noticed a picture floating around saying, anybody interested in this motorhome like that? Yes, it is Ed's motorhome. Linda's selling it. She's downsizing it. So if anyone's interested, it is kind of a little bit of history. And it's a great motorhome. She has no use for it. She loves to drive it, but it's just too big for just one person, she says.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Well, yeah, of course we'll make sure Linda gets invited to the party, and we'll keep her informed as we get more detail. And you also. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the treasury report. Mike, we're okay, from what I understand.
Yeah, I sent the usual numbers out. The only thing that really changed since our last meeting is King of the Hammers T-shirts, and I got the billing for that today. So it looks like we'll clear at least $3,000 on those. And if we sell the other 40, that'll add another $1,000, $1,500. So that was a pretty good little buy there. So
that's fantastic. We really need to throw a party for Off the Grid.
Yeah.
They're helping out so much.
Yep.
So everything else is doing good. We're still on track to be in the black this year, from what I can see.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll. It'll be a minimal loss if it's a loss. But yeah, it looks like a break even year anyway. So
okay.
Considering everything, that's something to celebrate, I think.
I do too. A lot of people are hurting for financially right now.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Any questions for Mike on the finances of Corva?
Nope. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Next, we have the 2020 meeting minutes. Now, we put these all online, and we have asked people to read them so we can approve them. So are we looking at, Amy, all of the 2020?
All of 2020, because we sort of lost track of how many we've approved and not approved. So we reminded everyone to go online and read it, and if anyone wanted to also listen to the meetings themselves, because they are all recorded, and anybody can listen to it. So I would propose that someone make a motion to approve all the meeting minutes from 2020, and then the next meeting we will do approve the minutes as of each meeting. And everyone should know that the meeting minutes are posted anywhere from 2 to 3 days after the meeting is held, so the meeting minutes should be on the website by Wednesday and Thursday, and I usually send an email to the board letting everybody know. So this is just to cover all the meeting minutes from 2020, just in case there were some that didn't get approved in the appropriate meetings. So would somebody like to make a motion?
I move that we approve all of the 2020 minutes.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Is that Bruce Brazil?
That is.
Oh, I thought it was Charlie.
That was me.
Sorry, Bruce.
That's okay.
All right. Any discussion? Nobody. Everybody must be in agreement. All right. All those in favor of approving the 2020 minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? And all those abstaining? Motion passes. All right. That brings us to the end of our meeting. We're early. Are there anybody have any final thoughts or any final things they'd like to discuss or bring up? Guests are welcome to bring anything up. We have a few more minutes.
Hey, it's
all right.
Butch.
No. Hey, Butch.
Go ahead.
I knew you'd speak up. I was waiting on you.
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, you don't have anything.
Well, I got lots, but I had nothing I want to say.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I
hear somebody in the background there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Butch, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I got a thing from the Stony Ford folks that they're going to do a trail maintenance thing looking for volunteers. I can share that with the group. I haven't had a chance to address it yet. I don't even know what the exact date is. I imagine that some of you guys also got it. But I will share it with the email group that I get from you guys. Stony Ford Trail Maintenance. Okay, that's
great.
All.
Great. We'll get something out on the on social media about that. That would be great.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, with that, would anybody like to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Jared. I make the motion.
This is Bruce. I second it.
We got a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those.
Aye.
All those opposed, and all those have abstained. All right, everybody, stay safe, and hopefully, I'll see most of you or some of you at King of the Hammers, and we're going to be very careful to be sure that we don't get sick while we're there. We don't want to get ourselves sick. We don't want to get anybody else sick. So be safe. Everybody have a good time, and we'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Bye, everyone. Have fun, folks.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Good. So where is that?